Well, it is Monday, so let's check in on the world of health and medicine with Carrie Goldberg. She's host of WBUR's Common Health Blog. And Carrie, we're doing something a bit different today. We're not going to bring you just one story. We've got, what, three?
We have three. It's the Common Health Roundup of Need to Know News. And I'm thinking that we could start with today marking the opening of the biggest biotech conference of the year, the J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference in San Francisco that brings together more than 9,000 biotech folk.
8,999 of them are from Boston, right? Okay, just kidding. Like, not that many. But Boston is considered, widely considered, the home of the biggest biotech cluster in the country, if not the world.
That's right. And a lot of it centered in Kendall Square in Cambridge, where a sandwich these days costs $12. Oh, and also elsewhere as well. So there's this big annual migration of our biotech folk to the West Coast each year for JPM, the J.P. Morgan Conference. And it's kind of a good moment to take the pulse of the industry.
Okay, so how is it looking in biotech? Quickening pulse? Flatlining?
Definitely not flatlining, no. But last year actually was not such a great one for biotech. You know, the IPOs, the initial public offerings, were down, way down. And venture capital investment totaled about $6.5 billion, which was down from more than $10 billion the year before. The NASDAQ biotech index fell by about 20% last year. So you put it all together, and the headline in the online publication Stat is, chastened by a rough year, biotech tiptoes into its annual bash.
So less exuberance, in other words.
Less exuberance, though. Exuberance is scary, right? Because it might be irrational.
Yes.
But there's also a lot of uncertainty about what the Trump administration will do, but also some relief in the industry because there had been concern that a Hillary Clinton victory could mean much tougher efforts to control drug prices. You know, drug prices have been getting higher and higher in recent years to the point now that a typical new cancer drug costs $100,000 a patient.
Okay, so with Trump administration soon to occupy the White House, maybe that's less of a concern. Will we also perhaps see a pickup in investment in biotech?
Well, we may. I mean, I think the issue of drug prices is far from over.
Yeah.
There could also be a boost from the 21st Century Cures Act that passed recently that aims to make drug approvals by the FDA sort of faster. We've got word from the conference today already that they're already seeing some big deal making, including a deal by the Japanese drug maker Takeda to buy Ariad, which is based in Cambridge and makes a leukemia drug, for about $5 billion.
So that acquisition is a $5 billion acquisition. Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Any other specific companies from the Boston area to watch?
Well, you know, Biogen, which is the biggest biotech company in the Boston area, just announced it has a new CEO, Michael Vounatsos. And he's said to be there. And Vounatsos was at Merck for many years. He said he wants to replenish Biogen's pipeline, so the drugs that are in development. So it sounds like he's in a buying mood. And I think the JPM conference could be a great place to shop.
So
perhaps
some M&A activity in biotech. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's your first story mm-hmm. of the Common Health Roundup. On to another topic that's happening elsewhere out of state, but means a lot here in Massachusetts, because on Capitol Hill, of course, the battle has been launched over defunding Planned Parenthood.
Yes, it has. Late last week, House Speaker Paul Ryan and other Republican leaders made very clear they're going to be pushing to cut federal funding for Planned Parenthood. They've tried to do that before and failed, but this time around, they've got both houses of Congress and the White House. So I'd say the odds are more in their favor than ever.
Okay, so here in the state, Massachusetts has, what, 5 Planned Parenthood clinics?
Right, 5 clinics. They serve about 30,000 patients a year. Family planning, cancer screening, testing for STIs, sexually transmitted infections, and abortion, which is what makes them so controversial. I spoke with Dr. Jennifer Childs-Roschak. She's the president of the Planned Parenthood League of Massachusetts. And here's the thing. You know, even though Planned Parenthood is controversial because it provides abortions, this defunding wouldn't actually affect abortion because there are already zero federal dollars that pay for it. Here's Dr. Childs-Roschak.
So the irony here is that the money that potentially could be cut if this goes through is that it's all impacting preventive care and family planning. And we are currently at the lowest rate of abortion, teen pregnancies, and STIs ever.
So the cuts could affect what got us to these low rates, which is better access to better birth control.
Okay, so but give us a sense here about like how many people are we talking about who come to Planned Parenthood clinics in Massachusetts for things, services other than abortion?
Well, so here are the numbers. You got 30,000 patients. About 10,000 of them are on MassHealth. That's our version of Medicaid, which is paid for mainly with federal money. So that's the number that could be affected by defunding. And they are coming for not just abortions, but, you know, all kinds of sort of primary care for a gynecology. So mammograms or STI testing or birth control. And, you know, we tend to think of Massachusetts as having plenty of medical care, but this kind of gynecological primary care isn't always so easy to access. So you can say, you know, they could just go somewhere else and they can, but it might not be that easy.
And so that's what Planned Parenthood is saying is at risk if they're defunded.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was story number two. What's your final health story for us today?
So the final story is peanuts, or rather peanut allergies. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, this had been coming for quite a while, but late last week, federal health authorities put their stamp of approval on the new guidelines that say basically to cut the risk of peanut allergy, which is the most dangerous food allergy, feed your baby peanuts early and often.
Okay, but of course not in the form of whole peanuts, no choking.
Right, thank you, Mom. Yeah. Thank you. No whole peanuts. But the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases now recommends that babies be given food with peanut powder in it, or, you know, pureed peanut, before they hit 6 months. And for kids who are at high risk of allergies, like if they have eczema or other signs, possibly even earlier. But all of this, of course, only with a doctor's supervision.
Okay, so let me state the obvious fact here, but it's still worth noting that this is a 180-degree reversal
yes.
from advice that had been given to parents by doctors for years.
Yes. It is. And tempting as it is to rant about how they shouldn't give us guidelines if they don't really know, the fact is that, you know, science is a work in progress. And when it advances, the guidelines advance, too. And in this case, you know, peanut allergies were very much on the rise, despite the advice to hold off on peanuts. And there was some really game-changing research out of Israel, where most kids eat this peanut snack called bamba, and the rates of peanut allergy are dramatically lower. So that was a major clue that led ultimately to this.
Mm. Now, but we should acknowledge, though, that something like 2% of American children have peanut allergies, and some of them are very, very serious. Like,
yes.
Some of those kids have very serious allergies. But, mm-hmm. but Kara, I'm curious, I mean, if we do, if the United States does some kind of version of Bamba, could we reduce the rate of peanut allergy?
That is certainly the hope, including, and the federal health authorities say that's what they believe. Personally, I predict supermarket shelves will soon be full of peanut products for infants.
Oh, a new market.
Yep.
To sell to already stressed out parents. Great.
Yep.
Well, Kerry Goldberg is host of WBUR's Common Health blog. You can find a link to all her reporting at our website, theradioboston.org. Kerry, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.